concept that's we switched up there? There we go. Sorry about that. I want to make sure. Last time I was up here, I had no idea that my presentation wasn't even being displayed behind me. So I didn't want to make that mistake again. I asked Rod, he was originally down to speak this evening, and I asked him if he would let me speak this particular time. And there's some motivation for that. As many of you are aware of, most of you are aware of, there are six high school seniors that are graduating out of this congregation this year. That's a pretty significant amount. And I wanted to share some things for them. Hopefully, other people will benefit from the lesson as well. It's not just for them, although that's some of the focus tonight. In 1984, when I graduated, the principal told us before our graduation, he said, "I don't want you to do anything disruptive." And chuckles went through and said, "Ha, ha." And in order for him to maintain some control there, he told us that when you walk on the stage and we hand you this little diploma cover, it's a blank sheet of paper. You get the real one later. And so we're all thinking, wow, can he keep my diploma if I don't walk across the stage and act the way he wants me to? Needless to say, the main thing that he really didn't want people to do, and he told us this was told repeatedly, he said, "Look, don't throw your caps. I don't want you throwing your caps. It's just not safe. You'll poke out somebody's eye. Don't throw it at the end. After you flip your tassel over," different people do different things, but ours was moving the tassel from one corner to the other, "don't throw that cap." So we're all thinking, we can't do anything? What? So right before we all assemble in this area, we're getting ready to march in, and somebody says, "What's he going to do if we all throw our cap? If we all throw it, he can't keep everybody from having a diploma. It would be all over the news." So we all walk in, everybody sits down, everybody goes through the line, they hand out their diploma, well, not the real diploma, obviously. And of course, at the end, everybody looks around, everybody's thinking, "Should I throw my cap?" We all threw our cap. Now, I tell that story because in this situation, we think we're going to test ourselves a little bit. We're going to see. We've got a little power. We've graduated. We're somebody now. We've reached this pinnacle in our life. And maybe we're going to just buck the system a little. We're going to show the guy in authority he doesn't always win. So we think about, we graduated from the womb, we were all born, and we adjusted to that birth somehow because we're all still here. We made it to babyhood, through diapers, through, you know, learning how to eat. And you parents that have kids that haven't made it through diapers yet, you'll know what I mean after you've got one through and you go, oh. They go to kindergarten, school, whatever education. They get into pre-adolescence, and then they realize they're teenagers. And I purchased this shirt I found online the other day that said, I don't need Google. My teenager knows it all. And then they reach this level of high school, and they travel down the road. You travel down the road to adulthood. And so the question is, where do I go next? What do I do now? I've reached this point in my life, and I ask myself, well, you know, and if you just graduated, you've probably got some plans lined up. I don't know if it's school or maybe it's a job, different things that take place. But the first thing is always recognize the accomplishment that you have made. And in order to do that, I think the first thing we've got to do is we've got to thank God for our competence. Okay, let's look at 1 Corinthians 3 and verse 4. Paul writes to the Corinthians there. Such confidence as this is ours through Christ before God. Not that we are competent in ourselves to claim anything for ourselves, but our confidence comes from God. Some people struggle to acknowledge that. We need to thank others. For those of you who are graduating, your parents. They fed you, they took care of you, they gave you clothes, they did all sorts of things, they taught you. Friends, fellow Christians, other members here who've encouraged you to achieve and continue on. All these people play a role in our lives. And I don't know why it did that. Forget your failures. The failures that you've had in your life and you've experienced in your life, you need to move on. In our education system, you kind of start with a clean slate. You're out of high school. What is. But I want to point to you somebody else. Paul says in Philippians, the third chapter, starting in verse number 12. Not that I've already obtained all of this, or having been made perfect, but I press on to take hold for that which Christ Jesus took hold of me. Brothers, I do not consider myself to taking hold of it, but one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead. Paul did a lot of things to Christians. He was persecuting those Christians. But he looked forward. He isn't looking back. You have to forget the failures in life. Correct them, move on. We have decisions to make. Everybody has decisions to make. You have decisions to make. How do you make those decisions? One, ask for wisdom. James 1:5. It says, ask God for wisdom. He'll help. Somebody else asked for wisdom instead of riches and all that. His name was Solomon. Wisdom is quite important. Consult with others who have a godly focus. And I put that in there for a key reason. We can consult with lots of people, and they can tell us lots of things. But if they don't have a godly focus in mind, not sure where their advice is going to take you. Your parents, older members, elders. The thing that's interesting about that is those people, your parents, they went through this stage in life too. Or otherwise they wouldn't be here. And you wouldn't be here. So keep that in mind. I put this up here, avoid debt. This is one of the things to think about. Before Rachel even turned 18 years old, I go out to the mailbox one day and I pull out this credit card application. She's not even 18. Amazing. Please get into debt. Not. Now, is all debt unavoidable? Certainly not. But be very aware of what you do with regards to money. Consider what Proverbs 22 and verse 7 says. The rich rule over the poor, and the borrower is a servant to the lender. I don't think there's anybody in here that wants to be in debt. And as you go out into life, you will be challenged with decisions that may put you in that situation where, should I do this or should I not financially? Accept responsibility for your actions. To me, one of the biggest changes that I have seen in probably the last 10 to 15 years is so many people who say, it's not my fault. I am a victim. Let's look at Galatians 6 and verse 5. Each one should test his own actions. Then he can take pride in himself without comparing himself to somebody else. For each should carry his own load. Why does that? Choose your friends wisely. You're going to have new friends. You're going to run into different situations. Friends, good friends, can be the difference between You may be having difficulties or not, but choosing the wrong friends can take you down the road that you may not realize that you want to go down. Lastly, I want to say, seize the opportunity that you have. I would say this is the one spot in your life where those decisions that you make can have a huge impact later down the road, but you need to seize that opportunity. Weave God into your daily life. Prayer, Christian association, Bible study. I'll look at Proverbs 3. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him and He will make your paths straight. Also, face your fears. There's a fear when we get into this age in life, not sure what I want to do, not sure where I want to go, not sure who I want to meet or not meet. Paul told Timothy in 1 Timothy that there will be fears, however. 2 Timothy 1, 7 and 8, God did not give us a spirit of timidity, but a spirit of power, love, and self-discipline. So don't be ashamed to testify about our Lord or ashamed of me, this of His prisoner, but join me in suffering for the gospel by the power of God. One of the first jobs that I took when I got out of college, I went on a trip with somebody, and this guy was my boss, and he was a very serious alcoholic drinker. So the first night after where he had traveled to this location, we go to a place and he orders a beer or something like that. He says, "Why don't you order a beer? Company picks it up." I said, I don't drink. All along I'm thinking, you know, I wonder what this is going to do to me if I don't participate, if I let him know that I don't drink and why I don't drink. Well, that led into a conversation. Why? So we got in this discussion about this particular scenario. Now, I didn't convince him to not drink. But that first event had a domino effect for all of my experience with this person. Because this person, all of a sudden, goes, "I know Dirk doesn't drink. I know he doesn't do this. I know he doesn't do that." And I had a confidence at that point to go, I'm glad I didn't let influences that would take me down the wrong road let that actually occur. So Matthew 5 and verse 13, be salt, be light. And I think about those particular scenarios that I've had to face in my own experiences, and I made some bad decisions, and I regret those. The thing about it is, you can't roll back time. The key is to not go down that path in the first place, because some of those paths, it's hard to get back. It's hard to rebuild a character, a reputation, when you made certain mistakes. So, you know, as Jesus says, be the light of the world. And we think about, in Matthew 25, the parable of the talents. Now, this is about money. The man gives three people some money, the talents. He gives one of them five, one of them two, and one of them one. And they each do different things with those talents. You got to ask yourself, which one would you be if you were one of those three? Exploit the talents that you have. Use them. Use them effectively. Don't bury it. Don't bury it. I want to lead you with this interesting thought. Most of us know what a gazelle is, if not all of us. A gazelle can run about 17 miles an hour when it's very young. And it can reach a top speed of about 35 miles an hour. And it can sustain that speed for quite a length of time. Now, what's important about that is, in the Serengeti of Africa, there's also this lion. The lion can run about 50 miles an hour, but for a very short period of time. So every day that gazelle gets up, wakes up, and you know what he's saying? I better be faster than that lion. And every day that lion gets up and she goes, I better be fast enough to catch one of those gazelle because I got to eat. The question is, if you're the gazelle, do you want to be the slowest gazelle out on the Serengeti? Or do you want to be the one the lion always catches? Because Satan is a lion. And he's looking for those slow gazelles. And if you're the slow gazelle in your life, if you don't look forward, if you don't try, Satan's going to catch you. He's going to catch up to you. He's going to get you. And there's in the challenge that I want you to consider. Paul says, back in Philippians, in verse number 14, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Jesus Christ. I press on. Go forward. Look forward. Live a godly life. If you're here tonight and you've thought about your own scenario, own situation, and maybe you need to make some adjustments, or if you've you're not a Christian, you want to make changes in your life, this wasn't a message about baptism, but the request from Christ is to believe, be baptized on His name. I encourage you, if you need assistance from us, to come forward as we stand and sing.